Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who always reads between the lines until he sees a car coming, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back to hour number two. Broadcasting live tonight from Madison. Beautiful Madison. It is a gorgeous night here.
Perfect.
Oh, God.
Couldn't be more. I was walking around before the show, and I just was taking it all in because it's so perfect.
And you live here, but you still do that. And that's what a sign of a great town, when you still notice that you live in a cool place.
Love Madison.
Yeah, I'm with you. So Terry Bell is here. He is the Civic Media News Director. We're talking movies, talking about stuff. I was just, our next guest is here, Wendy Schneider. She's in the studio. She just came in during the news break. I was talking about, I just mentioned to her how I dropped my daughter off at college. And this is a weird thing, Terry. So we're about to meet her peers, other people. And my kids have both, I have to say, they've never acted embarrassed by us as parents, which I always found that to be, well, that changed. We were walking and she sees other people coming, and I've got like warm up pants on and a nice shirt, and it's tucked in, and she in an aside goes, "Dad, untuck your shirt fast, untuck your shirt." I'm like, is that a thing now? What fashion thing did I miss? You can't, Conrad, do you tuck your shirt in?
I can't say I ever actually do that.
Wow. This country's going to hell.
We used to be a society.
Men wore hats. We had our own haberdashers. Now I can't even tuck my shirt in. So Terry's here. We're talking, Wendy Schneider's coming up at 8:20. We're going to talk about her movie, Angels of Dirt. It's a great film. We'll jump into that and talk about some of the projects she's worked on too. She's a really fun person to interview. She's here. Terry's here live. This is a really fun night in Madison. So wherever you're joining us from tonight, it's great to have you. And I should say our question again tonight is, now that summer is officially over, Labor Day has come and gone, what are you most looking forward to next? Is it Halloween? Is it Thanksgiving? Is it Sunday football? Whatever it is, apple picking, what do you do? What are you most looking forward to? You can let us know on the text line at 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC, or on the stream. However you need to get a hold of us, just do it, because we love reading your stuff on the radio. And as always, as you know, you can chime in on anything we're talking about. It's great to interact. So do you have something you're looking forward to in the fall, Terry?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We already talked about it, but Badger Volleyball.
Badger Volleyball, yeah.
I go with friends. So we've had season tickets for years, and it's just a great atmosphere.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And a great sport. It's one of the underrated spectator sports out there. It is amazing to watch in person and on TV.
Awesome. Yeah. I think that's, I didn't realize that was your answer. I know we talked about volleyball, but okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. So how much, if I decide to go to see volleyball, what's that going to set me back?
It kind of depends, because all the season tickets and single game tickets are sold. So you're going to have to go on the secondary market.
Okay.
To see a game against a lesser non-conference opponent, or even a second tier Big Ten opponent. Not bad, because the demand is not that great. But oh boy, when Minnesota or Penn State or Nebraska comes to town, you know, you'll be paying some big bucks.
Okay.
Yeah.
50, 100?
Yeah.
Wow, really?
Mm-hmm.
There was some comic I saw recently said you can't leave your house anymore without spending $100.
It's hard.
It's like groceries, gas, 100 bucks. Like, you can't do it.
That is true.
All right, we got a few more minutes with Terry. Let's jump into some movie talk here. We talked about films that that influenced us. Mm. And you said, I love that you didn't even have a movie theater in your town. So it was probably like VHS that you had to find films that you thought were great.
It was a fortunate thing, because right about the time I got to high school is when a home video became a thing. So you could, you know, that opened up things. But even so, you know, we didn't have a video store in town.
Wow.
So it was whatever you bought on a trip to La Crosse or Madison or something, that, and you kept it. You watched the same movie over and over again 100 times, because it's all you had, or it's what you taped. You know, off the air or off basic cable or something. So it was really, what what we lacked in access, what made up for that was a TV show called Siskel and Ebert.
Yeah.
And that show really, that lit the spark for me.
Okay.
Because these two guys were so interesting to watch. That was a great television show. Somebody put it perfectly. It wasn't a show about the movies. It was a sitcom about two guys who lived in a movie theater and argued all the time. And that's pretty true, actually.
That is great.
But years later, I, you know, the internet comes along, I'm able to read Roger Ebert's columns in a way that I, you know, never had access to in Southwest Wisconsin in any way before. And right about the time that he was having his cancer battle was when I appreciated the fact that I really needed to get more literate about movies. Mm. And so, you know, I'm in my 40s by this point. I had tried. So I'd like to say as a kid, I really got turned on in a meaningful, mature way about the movies. And I tried in fits and starts in my 20s, but I just don't think I was emotionally mature enough. Mm. But by the time I hit my 40s, I realized this is something I really need to get serious about. I need to see these movies that I've been hearing about all my life, but I've never seen.
Right.
And I really threw myself into it. And it was a great thing to have happen. And living in Madison is a fortunate thing. You have access to the Cinematheque and the Wisconsin Film Festival. And you will see something that, you know, you just can't stumble upon. You have to seek out.
I'm still trying to see those movies that I grew up hearing about. I've seen several of them, many of them, but not, I still got a long way to go. Like, I'm not, you know, there are still classics I haven't seen. But one of the things I added, and I said this before the break, one of the films that affected me, because I was like you in a small town seeing films, and I, you know, when you have access to movies, I just liked everything I saw because I was seeing a movie.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in the theater and I'm sitting there and it was so great. But when I saw After Hours, it was a Scorsese film starring Griffin Dunne. Rosanna Arquette is in it. It's just about this guy who can't get home at night in Manhattan.
Oh,
it's a very long night. And I was like, that to me turned everything on its ear.
Sure.
I'm like, this guy is not particularly, he doesn't look like Harrison Ford. He doesn't, he's just a regular dude. And then I find out he's from a very rich, influential family. But however, you know, and I thought, wow, you can make a film that is just different and weird and cool.
Yes.
And the same way I felt when I saw Rear Window, my first Hitchcock film that I saw, and In the Heat of the Night by Norman Jewison, Sidney Poitier, Rod Steiger. That film literally, Terry, transported me to the setting. And it was this, like, the aesthetics of it were just this sweaty, small town. They actually filmed
it in the 70s were a great decade for that kind of movie.
Yeah. And I think that might have almost been 70s. It might have been 60s. But it was, they filmed it actually in Southern Illinois. And I didn't know, like, to me, it was Mississippi because it was, they were sweating and it was like this heat wave. So that was another one. That was the first movie I saw that, like, kind of jumped out at me, like, the aesthetics, even before I knew what aesthetics were. I just was like, this is so authentic and so real, you know? And then another one I would say is, I told you this, To Live and Die in L.A., because I heard that William Friedkin directed it. I just seen French Connection when I was like, I don't know, 17 or whatever. So I thought, oh, I got to watch this film. And then William Peterson, the star of the film, who is this great Chicago actor, gets his face blown off 2 minutes before the end of the film.
Yeah.
I'm like, what did I just see? Like, I was not used to watching films like that. They were all kind of cookie cutter films.
Right.
Fun, but not turning
nothing
things
that wouldn't
ear.
Fly with test audiences.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that kind of, like, you know, developed a passion in me about movies and stuff like that. And I would say this other one that my fifth one was Boyhood. I love Richard Linklater.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that he filmed these people for over 14 years, these actors. It's the real actors. And I love that nothing really happens in the movie. It's all these little victories or little defeats. It was so much like life.
Yeah.
I couldn't take it. I loved it so much. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you're making me think of a movie from a more recent vintage that really had a big impact on me. I love the movie Eighth Grade. I don't think I have ever seen a more authentic 90 minutes ever put to celluloid. It was
really
just astonishing. Yeah, it felt. It's about this girl, obviously, in eighth grade. And some people I talked to are reluctant to see it because they think it's about maybe this girl being bullied or mistreated in any way. And it's not really like that. It's kind of another kind of personal hell, and that she feels ignored.
Hmm.
She doesn't feel seen at all.
Okay.
And boy, you know, just anybody who, you know, we all grew up, you know, we all had our awkward phase. And
sure.
Boy, those scars stay with you.
They
and
do.
Those memories stay with you. And watching that movie, ouch, really, really
interesting.
It made you remember a lot of things and also, you know, gives you a lot of sympathy and empathy with kids. And I've worked with kids on and off my life, and I could it had a big impact on me.
Wow, that's exactly what I wanted out of this conversation.
Yeah.
I love films that just they change your life in a way.
They really can,
subtly maybe, but
yeah,
it's a beautiful thing.
Like Roger Ebert said, you know, you don't learn anything about yourself by watching people who are just like you.
Right.
You learn about yourself by watching people who are nothing like you, who are going through different experiences. And what you see and how that makes you feel and what that makes you think about. That's when you really learn about yourself.
Absolutely. And I love that you brought that show into the fold here because it's just, it was two guys talking about movies.
Yes.
How the pitch must have been like, why are we, like people want to watch movies, not see two middle-aged dudes talk about it, but we loved that. Mm-hmm. If you have a movie that kind of changed your life, even if it's in a subtle way, feel free to share that here. You can text us or let us know on the stream or the app. Terry Bell is here. Wendy Schneider coming up in just a couple minutes. We're going to talk about her new documentary, Angels of Dirt. This has been really fun having you here, buddy.
It's always fun.
Yeah,
on, Pete.
Always. And I'm glad. I just am going to accept the fact that you're tired whenever I invite you on the show, and you'll muscle through somehow.
I should never
so.
Say anything. It's always a pleasure to be on.
Keep up the great
yeah.
news with work, or with the great work with the news here.
Thank
and
you.
Thank you again for getting me, introducing me to Civic Media.
Yeah,
this is good.
I will accept credit.
We're
for
under
that.
The same umbrella.
Yes, we are.
All right.
It's good to be
it's
here.
It's Terry Bell, Wendy Schneider coming up next. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. All right, we are back. I do have a studio guest. Yeah, do you want to?
Do you want to be on camera?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Okay, yeah, scoot over. We got Wendy Schneider is joining me here in the studio. And I've had the pleasure of interviewing Wendy.
Only because of my hat.
Well, that's a pretty cool, that's some serious swag. Terry had a Civic Media shirt on. Conrad's rocking some kind of, what do you got there?
It's Conrad. A Brewer's hat.
Oh, a Brewer's hat. Okay.
Oh, wait. I need to move over a little bit more.
Yeah, scoot over. I can scooch too.
So we're going to be cozy.
We can be cozy. These chairs aren't that cozy, but all right. So we're getting set up here. Wendy Schneider is here. She is a Madison-based record producer. I still like saying record producer, even though they're not records.
I'm not done producing records.
I know you're not. I love that
you know,
do that.
Yeah.
And you make films
records.
Now.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So you can show people your hat. It's very cool. The film is called Angels of Dirt.
Yes.
And we'll talk about that in just a second. How are you doing? This is so fun that you're here. I love that you've made the drive. I know you live in Madison, but it's still pretty cool.
Well, I drove back from Springfield, Illinois
the
day before yesterday, so I still feel like I haven't really unwound from a trip that was, you know, to share the film with a lot of racers and campers and people who are at a huge, huge race, one of the biggest races in the pro season in flat track. So we screened the film there. It was a big, big deal that this happened outdoor. I brought down a screen and a
man.
PA and everything. And so, yes, I feel like I have been on the road. But as I was talking to you before we started, since I showed the film, which is almost a year ago, I showed it to Charlotte's father and friends, family in Milwaukee. It's just been a sort of unraveling of sharing, you know, just it's all like it's all happening. And so I have to keep up with a lot. But
all right. So tell us, for people who haven't seen it yet, tell us, the film is called Angels of Dirt. It's about Charlotte Kanes.
Yes.
She was a dirt track racer who started at 4 years old. And I'll let you take it from there. Tell us her story and tell us about your film and where we can see it. We'll start with the film and the story.
The film is about Charlotte. It started in 2006 when I would go out to Azzy and I was watching racing. Because as a spectator, you see, we're all spectators as we drive to Milwaukee and we see Aztalan on the right-hand side. You wonder what's going on. There's, you know, either bikes in the air or bikes going around in a circle. And so I started showing up and going to races, and I noticed a lot of young girls racing, young, 5, 6, 7 years old on little 50cc bikes, and older ones, you know, in teens that looked really cool and very... it was also intriguing to me, and people were nice. You know, I didn't feel like that much of an outsider. And so I decided to bring a camera and just start chatting with some of the young girls. And I met this guy on the side of the road on my way to Azzy, and he was on a motorcycle. And I told him what I was doing, and he said, well, you got to meet Charlotte Kanes. And so she was the first interview. That was Dave Kilkenny. I've told the story a lot, but it's just worth giving people the context that
absolutely.
Dave is an important person. He was integral to her life and to the story of the film, and he's a good friend, and that Charlotte was the first, you know, young girl, her and I think I might have interviewed Lexi Hoffman that day. I met Charlotte's dad, Jack, and then what unfolded was a number of years of me just interviewing young girls at Aztalan. Both in flat track and motocross, but very different communities in terms of the sports that they were doing. But with Charlotte, I was befriended so many people around her circle that I would go with her family to other races, or I would go to her house for dinner, or I would, you know, I was connecting with her mom and her dad, and they were just like letting me in. You know, and
so it was a documentary at this point.
It
you
was.
Had started filming and they were okay.
Oh, yeah.
With that.
I was filming since 2006. I was filming. And then I really didn't know what I was doing, but I just kept filming. You know, I remember meeting with some guy in Milwaukee. He's like, just start editing and then you'll start making your movie. And I just was so stuck all the time with, I know, I just need to keep filming. I'm not sure what I'm doing. And then I got into a really tragic car accident that took me out of everything for about a year because it was very traumatic. And then I just lost touch with Angels because it felt very overwhelming. And then Smart Studios closed. And so I did this pivot because I was now going to do the Smart Studios film, and that was its own mountain to climb. That was its own, like, insane experience for 6 years. You know, I might have dabbled a little bit back in Angels of Dirt here or there, but it just never felt like I was really taking it off the shelf.
So, all right, for those of you listening, Wendy she worked for the Smart Studios, a little studio here on East Wash, a couple, maybe a mile from the Capitol, something like that. That is where Butch Vig and Steve Marker started producing records.
Yeah.
When they were in college, Wendy worked for them and made this great documentary called The Smart Studio Story. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal documentary.
Thank you.
We'll talk about that, too, I hope, in a few minutes. But
sure.
So you were working there, commuting back and forth from Milwaukee. You saw the dirt track.
No, the track is in Lake Mills, right?
Okay.
So it's not all the way in Milwaukee. But Charlotte lived in Milwaukee, West Dallas, which is a suburb of Milwaukee. So that you had all these Milwaukee folks that would come in and people from around the area. I take this time off. Smart Studios closes, and I worked on Smart until 2016, and the turn of events happened in September of 2016 when Charlotte had just continued racing, and she'd gone pro. She'd come pretty far. She was, you know, doing her thing. She was, in the first season that she raced, her full first pro season, was unfortunately the season that we lost Charlotte to a crash that happened in her heat race but not of her doing. You know, somebody right. in front of her went down and she got caught up and didn't regain consciousness from that crash in Santa Rosa. That was on September 25th, 2016. So, you know, I was finishing Smart. Charlotte had passed. I actually went in to have the premiere of Smart Studios at the Oriental on the same night that I did a visitation call to Jack Kane's because he had just come back from California. Or it was the first time I'd seen him since Charlotte had passed. So it just felt like when people started talking to me after Smart Studios and asked what I was doing next, I said, oh, I'm finishing Angels of Dirt. And so it just all started almost like the instant that she left.
So, all right, just for the timeline. So when did you have your accident? You started filming her in 2006. Then you had an accident.
2008. End 2008.
Yep. So you had 2 years of footage.
Three years of footage.
Yeah. And you just kept working at Smart and recuperating from your accident. And then about 2016, it wasn't until Charlotte had passed in her accident that you started filming again.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That so that journey.
Yeah, it was hard to go back in, I think, because I now needed to merge these stories. You know, Angels of Dirt is a really dimensional and rich story in its own right. You know, when I was making it back then, yeah. I just had not begun to weave the tapestry of that film. When Charlotte left us, it felt very clear that she was going to be the focus, but it was also going to include her world.
Yeah.
Which was Angels of Dirt. So
I have so many questions about that, too. My guest is Wendy Schneider. She is a record producer and a filmmaker, and she is a treasure here in Madison, one of Madison's very own.
Thank you.
We will talk more about all of this after Civic Media's award-winning news team informs us. I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
What's going on? 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 What's going on?
All right, Jim from Appleton says, love high school and college volleyball. The more they put it on national TV, the more I like it. He continues, also Halloween. My daughter and I thoroughly enjoy decorating our house for the holiday. That is something I could never get behind decorating for Halloween. I love when other people do it, but I just, I'm not a Halloween decorator. I don't know.
I'm not anymore. My mom was.
Was she?
Yeah. I think I vaguely remember, you know.
You grew up in New York?
Teaneck, New Jersey.
Okay.
Bergen County. Yeah.
Was Halloween a big holiday there?
Yeah, we had I think I called it Cabbage Night was the night before. That's what we called it, with toilet paper and eggs. And then, you know, I just remember dressing up as I don't know, I was always a robber. I just remember always burning cork, you know, to make it make your face all dirty.
Yeah.
And then I was a robber. Yeah, I don't remember anything more extreme.
Nothing too elaborate.
No, but I had, in the last year, I don't know whether you saw me dress up in a uterus. I was in a 6-foot giant uterus, protesting.
Nice.
Holding up a sign that said vote and.
Yeah.
Vote. You know, vote the way you want.
That's
anyway.
A nice activist Halloween costume.
Yeah.
Halloween has always freaked me out. When I was a kid in Chicago, I remember they had what they called Devil's Night. Where kids, they wouldn't toilet paper, they would egg.
Yeah.
And so my dad got in the car and he's driving around looking for these kids. I'm 10 years old and I'm with him and I'm like, God, I hope we don't find who did this because I'm scared to death.
Mm-hmm.
But then I lived in LA for 14 years and they go bananas.
Oh, really?
Set decorators and you have all these people with these elaborate.
Yeah.
And we would take our kids on this, decorating and people are jumping out of the ground freaking. Yeah, it was horrifying.
Oh, you mean the Halloween costumes, not what they would get up to on Devil's Night or Cabbage Night or something?
Well, Devil's Night was just kids being jerks.
Okay.
They just egged houses.
Right.
I don't really see the tie-in, but it's just an excuse for them to be jerky teenagers. But no, and then in LA, it was just people went crazy decorating their houses and they looked really cool. But even as an adult, I was they would have that guy in a rocking chair who's still, and then all of a sudden he moves and you jump 8 feet,
We didn't have that.
No.
It was the 70s, you know. It was New Jersey in the 70s. Yeah. I don't know. Everything was kind of low-key.
So you've been here a long time in Madison, and you have never, have you ever had the urge to go back home, so to speak? Or are you, you going to stay put here?
I don't know. I mean, I don't, sometimes I say I don't want to die here, you know, so, as opposed to I don't want to live here. I really enjoy Madison. I've been here for 34 years. I have, I have a life here. I have a community of friends, different pockets of different types of folks that means so much to me in my life here. Yeah. And I work here. Like my chosen sort of media path or the things that I want to do, I'm able to make those things happen here. Some of that is because I've worked hard and I've been a very tenacious person here, just trying to make my way. I think I would have done that anywhere, but you know, Madison has afforded me a kind of professional reciprocity. Like there are things I can do here, if I can do for Madison, and you know, in turn, there's like a relationship I have with Madison or Dane County. You know, I do some things, a lot of work for Dane Arts. So I don't know. I was just back in Brooklyn screening the film. And I was in Manhattan one day, and that was where I knew Manhattan because I grew up in New Jersey, right across from the George Washington Bridge, Teaneck. And so I would always come into Manhattan with me and my girlfriends. My dad, my mom worked in Manhattan. And I really felt like my ghost was gone. Like when I used to go back and visit, you know, it just felt, I felt a connection. And it was interesting not to feel my ghost there. Like I really have been gone for so long. It's like the cells regenerating in your body. Like this New York is a different New York. Of course, like there's the Dakota and I like Times Square and I can walk around park to park and I love being on the subway. All that stuff's not going to change, but is my ghost there? Am I going to sort of, you know, reconvene something? I don't know, you know, but and, you know, so who's to say what's going to happen? But right now, I feel really busy and fortunate to be in my workspace on the East Side and with people who I really respect, who are in my life, and watch Madison, you know, expand in ways that wouldn't be my doing if I, you know, if I had my druthers. But but it's, you know, we're watching Madison grow all the time. It's interesting. From the arts to the access that people have here to, you know, businesses to the access that people don't have here with housing and whatnot. It's a very complex, you know, Midwestern city.
Absolutely. You know? I love the East Side too. I'm a fan of it. Yeah. And mostly just because that's where I come in all the time. But,
right.
But have you ever eaten at Banzo?
Yes.
Oh man, I love that place.
Yep. Restaurants. I mean, there's really most great food here. I have my point restaurant, like, you know, I go to these 10 almost throughout the year, but
definitely. I think where I live now, Madison is like the restaurant capital of the world compared to where I live now. But I was here and I brought my daughter with me on one of these trips. She was like in seventh grade at the time, and we're sitting with this woman who is from Thailand in a hot tub in the hotel, and we just started talking to her. She's very nice, and she's like, I really want to find some good food around here. I was like, oh well, there's a great place. I start directing her to Thai places in Madison.
Good, yes.
Well, that's what I thought. And she's like, well, I was thinking more like American. Like, of course she wants American food. Her parents probably invented Pad Thai, and I'm telling her to go to Noodles on State, you know? Like, so.
Tell anyone. Well, Noodles on State is fine, but yeah.
Is that an actual place? I just kind of pulled that
out. Isn't Noodle and Company, isn't that like a chain?
Oh, yeah. No,
it's a noodle. That's like a noodle place. Yeah.
Noodles on State. I like Naf Naf. Whatever. It was just me being an idiot.
I'll take anything when I'm hungry. So where did you eventually?
Well, she wanted a bratwurst and a cheeseburger. So I was rattled, though, because even my daughter at seventh grade was like, Dad, I think she's looking for, like, American food. So I told her I was thinking of State Street Brats. I told her to go to the Brat Stop way over Highway 50 and 94. It's, like, between Chicago and Milwaukee. So I tell her State Street – or I told her the Brat Stop – and I meant State Street Brat.
Wow,
so
you've been
woman,
away too long.
Oh, she should never have run into me.
No. And this is all in a hot tub.
It was all in a hot tub. The weirdest hot tub,
that's,
you know,
funny.
Ever. That's funny. So, all right, let's get back to the important stuff. Your movie.
Yeah.
Angels of Dirt. So I love the story. When I saw it at the Barrymore at the Wisconsin Film Festival this last spring, it was so great. You did such a great Q&A.
Thank you. thank you, Ben Reiser. I mean, he facilitated that, and you know, it's I don't know, a lot of my life is in this film, and I appreciate being able to talk about it. I know that that time for me is limited. The film is always going to be the film. It's nothing going to change, but my time to talk about it, you know, I enjoy it, you know, and it's worthwhile for people to understand, you know, the story a little bit more from the filmmaker's standpoint. Right. You know, it's, yeah, I mean, Angels of Dirt, as I think about derivative work, you know, like there are more angels out there. There are angels that aren't even in the film that I still have footage of, you know, so it's getting this portion of the project, you know, planted firmly on the ground, you know, like let's establish the feature length doc and then let's see what happens after that.
It's such a great documentary. If you have access, can people listening right now see it? Or are you still on the festival circuit? Or
I'm
can
still
they stream
on the festival circuit, okay. Although I just got into the Driftless Film Festival.
Oh, that's a cool one.
That's in Mineral Point.
Yeah.
So I'll be announcing that. I mean, it's the early November. That's okay. when it's going to be, right? So please come out to Mineral Point. The film is going to London for a premiere in 2 weeks.
Okay.
So there's a motorcycle group over there that reached out to me and said, hey, we'll bring you over. Let us do the premiere of the London premiere.
Wow.
So, I mean, what I've been doing is I describe it as like race to race, door to door. I really am just taking the film, not really to festivals, but to races. You know,
yeah,
like
that's
taking
a great
it,
marketing plan.
Yeah. But- Yeah. I mean, I want racers to see this film in a way that's theatrical.
Yeah.
That they can see it, any of us, that we can see it together and have this experience that is about community. The whole film is about community, niche community, however you want to, you know, describe it. I mean, and I don't. This is just a, you know, a community that was really very, friendship was just sort of written into it.
That totally comes across in the film too. Like when they lost Charlotte and when you see, let me ask you this. You've become a fan of the sport. Obviously you sound like you really know what you're talking about.
I sound like it, but I can be fact checked.
You fooled
at
me.
Any time.
I'm not going to do that while you're here. but are you surprised? I think I read one article. They go up to 140 miles an hour.
Yeah.
They just have a helmet on. Are you surprised there aren't more tragic accidents like what happened to Charlotte?
Well, I think that, you know, everyone in the sport is going to have something, is going to feel a certain way about the sport, whether you're a racer or you're the father of a racer or you're the, you know, a fan for 40 years of all of the racers. And you've seen people, you've seen the race, the sport has lost people because it is an incredibly dangerous sport. But I think that I, you know, whether it's in my nature or being a filmmaker, you know, I respond to like where people are at and I try not to impose.
Sure.
Although, of course you do. Like everything is subjective. After 17 years of working on Angels, it's all subjective, you know. I was just at races at the Springfield Mile. That's the fastest mile track, I think, that they race. This is the second to last race of the pro season, right? This was Charlotte's go-to track. This is the closest one to her house. This is the one that she coveted as a young girl. So to be there and to show the film on a weekend where there was a doubleheader and to have racers see the film, it, for me, you know, there is it's a feeling, you know, it's like a, I don't know. Like you can't, I can't really describe it because there has been a lot of loss, but there's also, you're watching people, like if you were watching mountain climbers, go up the mountain, go do your thing. You know, the sport takes safety seriously.
Sure.
I think that there's always tweaks and changes and rules and you know, I mean, that I do not get involved in any of that. You know, it was, for me, it was a passion project about passion.
Well said.
Yeah.
The Driftless Film Festival
that
Wendy just mentioned, Wendy Schneider is my guest. She's a record producer here in Madison and a filmmaker. And I want to ask you what you like better now. You've got like two or three films under your belt.
Mm-hmm.
But check out, if you are in the Driftless area, check out Angels of Dirt. It's going to play at the Driftless Film Festival. I was there years ago for a film I was in as an actor, just going there.
Oh, cool. That's
great. And they
have
this really cool little opera house.
That's where all
the
films. It's
so pretty. Yeah. Yeah, it's a beautiful
it's
area.
It's great.
Do you have a preference? Filmmaking or making records?
Not really. I think, you know, I produced and wrote and recorded with my friend Paul Mitch all the music for Angels of Dirt.
Yeah.
So I was
You have
not,
a lot of fun with that. You can tell.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't leave my zone of interest or my passion. And I miss music dreadfully. Like, I miss making music. I miss my band. We're not active right now. I miss it more than I miss filmmaking. You know, I think that when I'm writing what I feel like are good songs to me, when I'm recording, I miss that. So I don't have to make the choice.
Yeah.
You know, okay. Like, I think that film reaches more people in a different way. And I can tell, you know, I'm a good songwriter, but I think that I was not able to, at least, or I haven't been able to reach that many people with my songwriting or my, you know, it's hard, you know, when you're older. Also, I'm going to be 60 in September, you know, so, you know, like, knocking on doors to play local shows when, right. You know, it's just not as easy as it was. And I feel very liberated that I'm diversified so much so that I do other things. But I really, music does something to me that nothing else does.
Yeah.
You know?
And filmmaking, it takes forever. Like, you can write a song and play it and pick up your guitar and go, this
you
sounds
could.
Great, and
yes.
perform it at a club that
yes.
night if you wanted to, or
yes.
on the weekend or whatever.
Yes.
Filmmaking is ridiculously tedious.
Yeah.
Narrative or documentaries.
Yeah.
Wendy Schneider is here. She's going to help me close the show. We got to do a very quick thing here. We'll have her for just a few more minutes. And maybe we'll talk about Smart Studios, where people
sure.
can see that. So
sure.
It's fun to hang out with Wendy. And great to have you with me as well.
This
is Pete Schwab and Nightlight. We'll be right back on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. Tomorrow night on the show, comedian and native Wisconsinite Mary Mack will be here. Mary has been on a ton of national shows and podcasts. She's hilariously funny, and she's doing her tour of Wisconsin. We're lucky enough to have her tomorrow night. And then from the hit HBO show Hacks, we have actress Rose Abdu, who has been on the show before. She's really funny. If you haven't checked out Hacks, it's a brilliant show. So that's a great show tomorrow night as well. We've got a few more minutes here with Wendy Schneider, who's hanging out with us in person. So fun to have you in the studio.
It's a lot easier than a phone.
Absolutely.
Call, yes.
Like we did last time. And you have, okay, so Angels of Dirt, if you're not lucky enough to see it at a festival or at one of these events she plans, when do you think it will be out there for people to see?
I would like to do a 20-city tour in the spring, like I did with Smart Studios,
yeah.
a place like the Alamo Draft House or something. I'd like to go to cities. Industrial cities in the spring, and then I want it to go to a streaming platform.
Nice.
So
okay.
Right now it's really grassroots marketing, that race to race kind of thing. A couple of festivals, if I get in, that's great. But you know, it's building that network of a sponsor network, racer network. You know, people that want to see it. Where's the DVD? I get a lot of. Do you have DVDs? You know, like when I'm at racetracks. You know, people are still getting buying DVDs. But that's my goal, is to find somebody to work with to help an indie screening tour, a grassroots screening tour, do well, which means I need a lot of marketing support, and then to go to a digital platform and then start working on derivative work that's connected to Angels of Dirt. It's a very creative environment for me. I really, you know, women and sports is an interesting path to be on as a spectator/filmmaker, because I continue to be curious about what it's like, you know, and that an Angels of Dirt is a little bit of a gateway for me in that regard. When there was, you know, these races that I was just at Springfield, Illinois, I was at the Springfield Mile. Shayna Texter Bauman, the only woman on the line, racing number 52. She was in the singles class, racing a 450. She's been racing ever since I was shooting Charlotte in 2000. I mean, I have footage of her when she was shooting, racing in 2007 and 8. And I remember seeing her back then, just thinking, my goodness, you know, what a whip. And she's still at it. She's married to another racer. They're both very successful. But she's still the only woman on the line. Now, this is not a sport that separates men and women at this level. And I find it fascinating.
That is.
Yeah. And also just something to be recognized. I mean, you know, this flat track film that is really looking at women in flat track, not only women, it's about flat track. But, you know, you don't find, you know, doing archival research for this project, it's hard to find women, like footage of women racing, because nobody was filming them racing.
Yeah.
You know, it was just, and if you weren't in the front of the pack, you got less footage of you if you weren't, you know, maybe top five, or you weren't, you know, formidable. But, and I find that, you know, there's an underdog quality about the whole sport of flat track, because it's not that kind of top tier sport
on
for
TV
people.
And yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, it's on streaming channels, but for people who love flat track, it's really, it's a significant pastime and a very, you know, it's a sport that is very meaningful for them and usually involves generations of connection.
They must love that you made this film about the sport that they love, because I'm sure there's not a ton of films about it, but
there are some. I mean, On Any Sunday is all is my favorite and a lot of people's favorites, and I was fortunate enough to interview Mert Lawwell, who is one of the main people in On Any Sunday from the 70s. Now this movie's 50 years old. I interviewed Mert for Angels of Dirt.
I love that his name is Mert.
Oh yeah, Mert Lawwell, look him up. He's fascinating.
A great name.
And that he's in Angels of Dirt is this connection that that film now has to my film, which then connects it to more people. It's interesting that way. It's a long, interesting road. I was going to say a hard road, and it is hard, you know, to just get this film to people, to make sure that they know that it's around before it just goes to Amazon or something.
Right.
Yeah.
We have a couple minutes left. Where can people see...
Well, the website is the best way to find out anything about Angels of Dirt.
No, I know, but I was going to ask you about the Smart Studio story. Frank Anderson is a regular on this show.
I love Frank.
He's so much fun to talk to. One of my favorite people. I only met him after I moved back to Wisconsin.
Okay.
Like I, a guy named Barry introduced us, and Frank, I just love the guy. And he is a showbiz renaissance man. I'd be home watching TV, regardless of the subject matter. Oh, somebody talking to Frank. He knows about that, too. Like, it's so intimidating.
It's true. It's
I
true.
Love the
yes.
guy. Yeah. And he was in Smart Studio Story. It was one of those things. This great documentary you did about Butch Vig and Steve Marker and your connection to all of that and the stories you tell. But then Frank Anderson's there, too. But where can people see Smart Studio Story?
This
is so
much
fun.
Where can they see Frank Anderson?
Just watch your TV.
If you go to our website, thesmartstudiostory.com, I think that you can get to the streaming platforms. You can watch it on Vimeo. You can rent it on Vimeo. It's on YouTube. Follow our YouTube channel. I'm really close to starting to put on these outtakes of all the interviews from Smart Studios.
Oh,
there's so many outtakes.
Yeah.
So many. So Smart Studios is, it's alive and well in its, you know, it's sitting there. It gets, you know, it's streamed. So you can find it on, that's the question, Vimeo, Amazon, smartstudiostory.com, or just email me. And
highly recommend it. It's a great film. And I think I told you, one of my favorite clubs to work when I was a comedian in the 90s was, it's Comedy on State now, but they used to be up the block and it had different owners. And I didn't know much about Madison, so I was based out of Chicago, and I would drive by the Smart Studios. Every time I came to town, I had no idea what was going on in that building. And it's so cool that Nirvana was in there and Smashing Pumpkins. And,
it really is cool.
Do you have a favorite, and you have these in your film too in Smart Studios, all these great, you know, Killdozer and all these young, fresh fellows and all these fun bands. Do you have a favorite offbeat band that's from Wisconsin?
No. No, and I'm just, in general, just not real good with those questions.
Okay.
I mean, I think, I don't really... or I'll email you.
That's awesome. We're done. You made it. The other name I love is the Know-It-All Boyfriends. That is such a great band name.
Yeah, Duke and Freddie and all those guys. They're doing a lot of good work for Joey's song, you know?
Yeah. Oh, we should have you on next time. We'll do that again, too. All right, Wendy, this is so much fun. Thank you. Best of luck with Angels of Dirt. It's
Angelsofdirt.com.
A great film. Yeah. Check it out. Please, it's great. Yeah. And rent Smart Studio Story. And we'll have you back soon. I would love to talk more about Joey's song.
Thanks so much. Thanks, everybody.
Join us tomorrow. Thank you to Terry Bell. Wendy Schneider, thank you for all your texts and emails and Morse code and everything you guys done to be part of the show tonight. It's been a lot of fun. We'll be back tomorrow night with more Nightlight. On behalf of Conrad, good night, Wisconsin.